Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. Today, Andrew explains how to trust in God regardless of the circumstances. Now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Well, I hope you had a good Christmas. The things that I've been teaching on for the last couple of weeks, with the exception of Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, I've been talking about in God we trust, and basically this is a response to the financial crisis that we've had here. I just got back from Europe, and I tell you, it was big, big news over there, and everybody blaming the U.S., which I guess there is some blame to go around. But anyway, I mean, it is a global crisis, and people everywhere are talking about how bad it is. And the thing that got me was Christians are panicking. And I tell you, I just don't relate. I've lost some money. You know, I had a little bit of money involved in the stock market and stuff, but that's not where my trust is. And also, we don't do foolish things. We didn't have it in real high risk type stuff. So I've lost very little money, but I mean, I've lost some money, but it's not going to keep me up at night. I'm not panicked. My trust is in the Lord. And this is what I've been trying to teach. And I've been using Isaac as an example out of the 26th chapter of the book of Genesis. And we've shared a lot of things. This is now the end of this series. It's a brand new teaching that I've given entitled In God We Trust. And the first part was about the sky is not falling. I was trying to put everything into its proper context and perspective from Genesis 26, 1. And then for the last 4 days, I've been talking about how that Isaac sowed in a year of famine and received 100-fold. Yesterday, I was focused on this verse out of Genesis chapter 26, verse 13, where it says, "And the man," talking about Isaac, "waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great." And I was talking about how that's describing a gradual thing that happened over a period of time. It is not a lottery mentality to where you just roll the dice and all of a sudden, boom, you prosper. And it's amazing to me how many people think that way. It's amazing to me how many Christians have that kind of an attitude, and they're just wanting God to somehow or another just wave His wand over them and they prosper. You know, I didn't use this verse yesterday. I'm wanting to go on, but let me just point this out. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, it says, "But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He that giveth you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant as it is this day." God doesn't give you money. It doesn't say that God gives you money. It says God gives you the power to get money, to get wealth. God gives you an anointing, and you have to go out and work it. You have to set your hand unto something. You have to start doing it. You have to produce more than you consume and do that consistently over a lifetime. And I guarantee you, any person who will do that will be prosperous. But the problem is there's a lot of people that are spending more than they're making, and they have this lottery mentality that they aren't using wisdom, and they know that there is a cliff that they're headed for, and they're just praying that somehow or another God delivers them before their arm, their adjustable rate mortgage increase, before the last payment's due or whatever. And they're out there using unsound business practices. And I tell you, there needs to be an adjustment. And what we see is just a natural adjustment to all of this greed and selfishness and indulgence and stuff. And there needs to be a change. And so, anyway, this is what we've been talking about. God doesn't give you money. He gives you an ability, a power to get money. And you can prosper, but you got to be like Isaac. You got to hear the voice of the Lord. You got to be willing to go against the crowd while everybody was deserting Gerar and going to Egypt. Isaac stayed in a place that other people were forsaking, used their own ground, amen, and sowed his seed in their ground because they had deserted the place because it was a famine, and he got 100-fold return. Boy, there's great applications. Look at this in Genesis chapter 26, verse 14. It says, "For he," speaking of Isaac, "had possession of flocks and possession of herds and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him." You know, I could say a lot about this. Today's going to be my last day, and I'm just going to have to mention this briefly. But notice that when it's talking about his prosperity, it's mentioning things that appreciate. Flocks reproduce. Sheep have, you know, baby sheep. Herds have calves. Servants, people have more servants. All of these are appreciating assets. If you want to prosper, you need to quit putting so much money into depreciating items such as cars. You know, you can go buy a $50,000, $60,000 car, drive it off the lot, and it'll lose $10,000 to $20,000 in 2 days. That may not bless you, but that's the way that it is. I guarantee you, those are depreciating assets. You have to keep a car for 20 or 30 years until it becomes a classic before it begins to increase in value. That's a depreciating asset. Now, you have to have a vehicle to get around in, but you know what? You could use wisdom in some of this and not sink so much money into a depreciating asset. Televisions. And praise God, I'm glad that you've got a television to be watching me. I'm not saying that they are something that it's wrong and you shouldn't have one. I'm saying you shouldn't watch everything that's on it. There's not that much good. But you know what? A television set, you buy those things, those are depreciating assets. Much of the computer stuff that we buy, we spend so much money on all of these things, and in a year or two, it's obsolete. I actually, you know, back when we were buying our own computers to run the ministry, I spent $60,000 on a computer system to run this ministry, and I think it was either 2 or 3 years. It was so slow and outdated that they wanted to update it. And I grudgingly bought a new one and updated it. And I said, what are we going to do with the old one? And they said, well, you could use it for a boat anchor. And I said, that was $60,000. And you're telling me that all it's good for is a boat anchor? And they said, it's obsolete. Who would want it? You know what? You need to start putting your money into things that appreciate instead of depreciate. And this is one of the things about Lot right here. Notice, as it mentions his prosperity, he had flocks, which appreciate, possession of herds, which appreciate, great store of servants, which appreciate. And notice it says the Philistines envied him. How many of us can say that unbelievers envy us? You know, I haven't arrived in this area, but I've left. And I can tell you that I've had people... For about 12 years, I had people buy me cars, and they didn't buy cheap cars. They bought nice cars. They were gifts. I didn't spend my money on it. People gave me these cars, and I've actually had unbelievers before comment on my car, and I said, oh, this was a gift. And I remember one guy, I was getting feed for my horses and stuff, and he just couldn't believe that. And he says, man, you think God would do that for me? And you know what? I have seen people look at the blessings of God in my life and envy me. Now, I'm not saying that I gloat in that and that I'm trying to make other people envious, but I am saying that, you know what, there ought to be a tangible evidence of the blessing of God in our life. And many of you watching this program can't say that. And I'm not trying to be critical of you, but I'm trying to say that during this economic downturn, crisis, whatever you want to call it, there's some lessons that you ought to learn. And just like I've been saying, you need to recognize that you have to wax great, that there are certain principles you need to follow. You need to do things over and over and over. You need to get appreciating items. And if you will do this, then you'll find out that the unbelievers will begin to start seeing the blessing of God in your life. Instead of you operating in fear, if you are speaking faith, if you are talking about the goodness of God and talking about, man, how this is a great time, you are excited about the future, you're going to stand out like a heel thumb. And I guarantee you, the unbelievers will notice it. And they'll take notice. And it could be a tremendous deal. You could see people born again. You could see people's lives change by you just beginning to operate in this. That's what happened with Isaac right here. And here's another point. In verse 15 of Genesis 26, it says, for all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. And you know, for time's sake today, I'm not going to read all of these scriptures, but basically, Isaac experienced rejection and criticism because of the blessing of God in his life. You know, if you truly begin to prosper, and if people see the blessing of God, there'll be one of two reactions. people will either see the blessing of God and they will come and entreat your favor and want your blessing and want you to pray for them and help them. That happened right here in the next verse. It says in verse 16 that Abimelech, which was the king of Gerar, came unto Isaac and said, "Go from us, for thou art much greater than we." He recognized the blessing and prosperity of God on him. And then later it says that Abimelech came, and in verse 27, Isaac said, "Wherefore are you come to me, seeing you hate me and have sent me away from you?" And they said, "We saw certainly that the Lord was with thee, and we said, let there be now an oath betwixt us, even between us and thee, and let us make a covenant with thee, that thou do us no hurt, as we have not touched thee, and as we have done unto thee nothing but good, and have sent thee away in peace. Thou art now the blessed of the Lord." These very people who had asked him to leave because he was more prosperous than their entire nation, these same people came and entreated his favor and wanted to make a covenant with him. So there's two reactions. You'll get some people who will respond positively and want you to pray for them and want you to share with them how they could prosper, and they want to benefit from the blessing of God on your life. The other response is like these Philistines who envied him, and they went and filled up his wells, and they began to persecute him, and they tried to make his way hard and stop his prosperity. This always happens because people are primarily insecure. They are not wanting to change. And when they see you prospering during a time of famine, when everybody else is pushing the panic button and you are going forward and you're prospering and God is meeting your needs and you're able to take a vacation, and they're so fearful that they can't get off because the gas prices are high or because they're afraid of this or that, and you're doing things, you know what? People will either respond positively and ask you to pray for them, and they'll admire you for it, or there's people that'll come out and criticize you because they can't rise up to your level. They're fearful that that would never work for them. And so rather than sit there and have you be a stark contrast to them, showing that they aren't living all of the abundance that God has available, the easiest thing for them to do is tear you down. So they go to attacking you and they go to criticizing you in hopes that they can tear you down and discredit you and therefore take away the conviction that they're feeling by the way that you're prospering. You know, some of you may think that's an oversimplification, but I believe that that's really at the root of everything. It says in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 10, it says, "Only by pride comes contention." It didn't say that this is a leading factor or one of the major factors. It says only thing that causes contention is pride, self-centeredness, looking at things from a selfish standpoint. When these people began to start filling up these wells and attacking Isaac, it was because they were self-centered. They were thinking, well, what about us? This man is in our country as a foreigner, and here he is prospering more than us. They were envious. They were jealous. It says in James 3:16, where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Man, this is an inroad of Satan into people's lives. And so Isaac, as the blessing of God came upon him, there also became persecution and rejection. And you know, this is exactly what the Scriptures prophesied. Jesus told his disciples in Mark chapter 10, he says, "There is no man that hath left house or father or mother or brother or sister or lands for my sake, but that he shall receive 100-fold in this life all of those things and persecution, and in the world to come, everlasting life." The Lord talked about there being 100-fold return in this life, blessing and prosperity on us, but he said with persecution. You know what? If you are going to do things God's way, I can guarantee you somebody's going to criticize you for it. Somebody's going to come out against you. If you never bump into the devil, it's because you're both headed the same direction. When you turn around and start swimming upstream, you are going to be criticized. If you take these programs that I've done for the last 2 weeks, and instead of griping and complaining and talking negative and fear and doubt and unbelief and murmur, instead of all of the things that are so prevalent in our society today, if you start praising God and talking about the goodness of God and talking about hope and faith that God is going to prosper you, There will be some people that will respond positively. I can guarantee you the blessing of God will come upon you and you will prosper. But I can guarantee you, you will be criticized. People will come out against you. And so there's somebody that says, well, I don't want that. Well, what would you want? Do you want to just be miserable like everybody else? Do you want to reap what everybody else is reaping? You know, it's amazing to me how many people want the positive results that the Word of God promises, but they don't want to do what the Word says. They don't want to suffer any criticism. And there are a lot of people that honestly would rather just be like everybody else, even though everybody else is miserable, even though people are operating in fear, they're panicking. They would rather be with the herd, miserable, than to be over here blessed and having somebody criticizing you. You know, I use those scriptures out of Isaiah chapter 51, where he says, who are you that a man would terrify you and that you would respond to this and forget me, the Maker? You know, when you let the people's criticism manipulate you and control you and motivate you to do something, you can whitewash that any way you want to, but you know what you've done? You have forgotten the Lord. You aren't trusting in God. I'm not saying these things to be critical of anybody, but I'm trying to open up our eyes. Brothers and sisters, when it comes to this physical world system, it's like most people have a spiritual side, their Sunday side, that they trust God when they go to church. They pray about certain things. But when it comes down to money, when it comes down to your retirement, when it comes down to the basics of life, most people's trust is in this monetary system, and when that goes sideways, when things aren't working, boy, you are hearing people push the panic button, scream and cry wolf, say the sky is falling, and it reveals that their trust isn't really in God. I'm telling you that God is the one that you should be trusting, not only in a crisis time, but you should be trusting God all the time. If we would follow His guidelines, if we would have been using the principles in the Word of God where He says, owe no man anything but to love one another. You know, if we were to follow those principles, I guarantee you, you could just be famine-proofed. You could be crisis-proofed. You know, my wife and I hesitate to say this because I am not saying this in any way to criticize anybody else. But my wife and I have been operating in godly principles in the area of finances. Boy, we give a large portion of our income. We always spend less than we bring in. We use wisdom and things. And anyway, by the grace of God, we have a house that is completely paid for. We don't know anything on it. We've got 3 vehicles. I got 4 vehicles if you count my skid loader that I have to use to maintain my property. And you know what? They're all paid for. I don't owe any man anything because we've been operating in this. And so you know what? Who cares what the world system is doing? Who cares about what they're saying? I am not locked into this world system. You don't have to live the way that everybody else does. You know, I don't know how to get this across any better than what I'm doing. And I know that there's many of you thinking, well, boy, you just need to go back to preaching the Bible. I am preaching the Bible. These are scriptural principles. And some people say, well, you just need to stay over there and talk about eternity and eternal values and what's going to happen in heaven. You know what? If the principles of faith, and if trusting God only work on Sunday morning, only work in certain situations, but if you can't apply it, if it's not practical, if it doesn't work in your life, then it makes me wonder whether you got the real deal. You know what? When I started trusting God, I trust God across the board in every area of my life. To the best of my ability, I'm trying to follow these instructions, and I'm telling you, I'm saying this in love, but if you would operate in God's system, if you would put God first, man, I'm praying that if you are in a financial bind, in the name of Jesus, don't quit giving. Don't stop your giving. There's a lot of people that only give when it's convenient. I tell you, if you're going through a tough time, you need to increase your giving. You need to put some seed in the ground. Don't eat it all or you're going to be hungry in the future. I'm telling you, don't panic. Start operating in faith. Trust God. Sow in a year of famine. And if you'll do that and take this as being a word from the Lord, just like what Isaac did, I can guarantee you God is going to prosper you. This can be one of the greatest times in your life. And there needs to be adjustment. Our financial situation has just been totally out of hand. And you know what? There can be positive things come out of this. You can learn lessons that'll set you well the rest of your life. And whatever you've lost, if you've lost something, God can give it back to you if God is your source. You know, there may be someone watching this program who you really haven't committed your life to the Lord. And maybe you've just heard this program today, or maybe you've tuned in over the last week or so. And you've heard me talking about this, and you think, man, this is just weird. Here he is in the face of all of these negative statistics while the rest of the world is just saying panic and fear and failure, and you're being positive, and can this be so? I just want to challenge you. If you would turn to the Lord, and if you would truly call out to Him, the Lord will prove Himself to you. In Malachi chapter 3, I believe it's verse 10, it says, "Bring all of the tithes into the storehouse and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord, and see if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you shall not have room enough to receive it." You know, there's very few things. That's really the only thing I can think of in the Bible where the Lord says, "Prove me, try it, see if it doesn't work." Most of the things, it's just a command. He's God. We aren't. He tells us what to do, and you either comply or don't comply. But when it came to this area of finances, the Lord says, try it. Prove it. See if it won't happen. There may be some of you that think, well, this is just too good to be true. Man, to be insulated like what I'm describing, to where regardless of what happens in the world, you are going to have a confidence and a trust and a security in the Lord, regardless of what the world system does, regardless of what the political system does, this just can't be so. You know, I hear the Lord saying, try it. Prove Him. Step out. Begin to start just seeking God. Ask God to help you. Instead of operating in fear, pray and ask God to speak to you and show you what to do. And I promise you, if you in a sincere heart do that, and step out, God is going to reveal Himself to you. And I am saying in the name of the Lord that you are going to prosper in a year of famine. You are going to see God prosper you. And this can be one of the greatest things in your life. You could look back at whatever failure, whatever difficulty you've had, and you could say, praise God. That was the thing that caused me to recognize that I needed something bigger than myself to trust in. Something bigger than the U.S. economy or whatever country you're watching this program in. And you know what? This could be a great time for you to turn and put all of your trust and reliance in God. And if you'll do that, I promise you God will meet your need. Amen. Man, I'm excited about that. I believe that God inspired me to give these programs just to help counter the negativism, the fear that is gripping people all around the world. And I pray that you'll receive this as a word from God and act on it. And if you'll do that, then God's no respecter of persons. Just like Isaac, you can sow in a time of famine and reap a supernatural harvest. Praise God. Remember that today is my last day to teach on this. I've got this brand new series entitled In God We Trust. It's available in CD or DVD as seen here on TV. Today's my last day to offer that. So listen to our announcer as he gives you the information about how you can get these products. And then join me again on Monday as we continue the gospel truth.
Andrew's teaching titled, In God We Trust, is available in a two-part CD album, or it's available in a DVD album made from Andrew's daily TV broadcast. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1059C or DVD album T1059D when you contact the ministry. Your gifts help pay for the cost of this program. They're very important to us, and we thank you. The second teaching in the audio CD album titled Sowing in Time of Famine is also available. We encourage everyone to send a gift, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this second CD free of charge. Request teaching number T022C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you.
I'd like to remind you that today is the last day that we're offering this brand new album. This is something that I feel like the Lord put on my heart just specifically for this situation that we find ourselves in right now. God needs to be where our trust is, not in this world system. And brothers and sisters, there's too many Christians that are just as disturbed and affected by this situation that we're in today as an unbeliever. That shouldn't be so. This teaching will really help you. And also, it's a great way to share this with somebody else. This is a great opportunity to reach out to people. So listen as our announcer gives you that information. Remember, today is our last day to make these materials available. So call or write today.
You can reach us through our website, where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. On our website, you'll not only find materials from today's broadcast, you'll find a wealth of resources free for you to download for yourself and share with others. Or you can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. We hope to hear from you today.
I want to give you a special invitation to join me on January the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd in Phoenix, Arizona. We have struck a deal with the Arizona Biltmore Resort. It's a four-diamond resort that starts. The normal room rates start from $300 and go up from there. And we've negotiated a price of $139 for this special New Year's celebration. They're going to give that price for 3 days before and 3 days after. So you can come and enjoy a vacation in a first-class resort, plus get the Word of God. Remember, it's our Phoenix, Arizona Gospel Truth Seminar, January 1st, 2nd, and 3rd in Phoenix, Arizona.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be at the Arizona Biltmore Resort in Phoenix for a Gospel Truth Seminar January 1st through the 3rd and in Colorado Springs for the annual Charis Bible College Men's Advance February 5th through the 7th. He'll also be in Houston, Texas February 12th through the 14th, Atlanta, Georgia, March 5th through the 7th, and in Colorado Springs for the Charis Bible College weekend, March 12th through the 14th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net. Be sure to tune in for more Gospel Truth on Monday.
But you know what? It's our own self-centeredness that's the source of all of our grief, too. It really is. If you could just die to yourself, which the Bible commands us to do, if you could get free from being controlled by a love for yourself, and if you had a total objectivity to where, God, it's not about me. I don't care what happens to me. I love you. I want to see your kingdom advance. If you could ever reach a place like that, did you know what? It'd just make you immune to a lot of the things that right now bother you. It really would.